Hi, it's Diane, and it is Friday the 13th, dun-dun-dun, of May, if you're superstitious. I'm here with the Noon Group, and so far we have Pat, and let's just start with a quick check-in. How have things been going for you?
Fairly well, considering we're winding down the school year.
Yeah. What are you noticing the most about the wind-down?
We're not having as many blow-ups about too much to do. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff to get done, and, of course, I shake my head at the things the teachers come up with in the last week, but he'll just say, yeah, we have to do that, yeah, and he's not getting really too frustrated with it, so that's good.
So his frustration level is more balanced. What's yours been like?
Ours is, we have a lot of other things going on, so ours is pretty high. But we're going with, you know, his usually comes more immediate for the moment. He's in the moment. So he doesn't care if he's got something due next week. It's what am I doing right now that this is going to cause me a problem. So we're trying to keep things fairly balanced for him. So far, it's been going well.
What, can I just ask Pat, what are you doing with him this summer?
He is going to a camp every day.
Okay, cool. So it's going to be kind of the same sort of dynamic without the homework. You were getting up in the morning, getting out the door.
Yeah,
home.
Same, pretty much close to the same schedule. He'll just be doing field trips and camp things, but, yeah, less stress of some less stress. He does have some summer school work to do for school, but not like regular school.
Got it. So where do you want to take aim today?
Well, I was trying to figure out what was today's this is about non-judgment.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there was a supplement. Actually, I made us say that out loud to the recording folks. There was a supplement attached to the email on Monday. Did you find it?
Yes, I got it, and I printed it out.
Excellent. So, yes, we're talking about non-judgment today. So what kind of came up to you as you were thinking about this topic?
I guess it's the non, you know, trying not to let other people's, you know, in your mind, you know, people are watching you thinking, why is he doing that, or why can't he speak up, or what, you know, trying not to just ignore what in my mind what other people would think, or and just decide that that's not important. So
is there a particular time or place, a situation where that worry of judgment tends to show up for you more?
For my son, it's where he just doesn't want to speak up. You know, you're in a social situation, and he knows the people, and he just, you know, may mumble something, he may not, and I just need to not worry about that, and, you know, he'll mature, and it'll be okay, you know. But, you know, in the back of your mind, the parents are thinking things, but it's okay.
Okay, so other people's opinions of his social skills, is that really kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so let me just talk a little bit about non-judgment. It sounds like you read the supplement, and I love this. Non-judgment is like one of my favorite topics. I swear that they're all, every time I get on a call, I say, this is my favorite topic, because it really is. We talk about such really important stuff. And, you know, the judgment piece of this comes in a couple of different levels. One is kind of like how we are looking at our child and the situation that they're in. It's sometimes about how we look at ourselves and how we're handling the situation. And sometimes it's like what you were just sharing, Pat, about how, you know, we think that the rest of the world is looking at us and judging us. And you know, there's a lot of potential gremlins, is the word I want to use here. It's just kind of like, you know, there's voices in our head about the way that things should be or the way that we should be handling things or you know, what our kids are supposed to be like or how we're supposed to be as a parent that kind of plays in here. And so it can be really easy to walk that path of of, you know, focusing on the shoulds rather than focusing on the situation at hand. And you talked about the fact that your son is often, like, really living in the moment. And one of the great tools about practicing non-judgment is that we do, when we come to a place of neutrality where it's not, oh, my gosh, this is terrible, I can't believe this is happening, or why did he do that, or kind of, you know, more of a judging, correctional sort of mindset, or, you know, thinking that other people are thinking that, you come from a more of a place of neutrality. It's not good, it's bad, it's just literally, this is the way the situation is, and what do I want to do about it? Or what is there something to do about it? Is there not something to do about it? But rather than kind of thinking, you know, and getting frustrated, and I think a lot of times judgments are what tends to trigger us, you know, so we think that something shouldn't be happening, and it is, and so we get frustrated and off balance. And, you know, I think that there's three things that it talks about in this article that are really helpful if we can stay in a more neutral place. And I like to call it kind of like responding like a computer, you know, just, this is what's going on. These are the facts. Let's move forward. But it's easier to identify what's going on for our kids right now because we're not emotionally charged and we're not worrying about the future. Or we're not thinking about something in the past or here we go again or whatever kind of the thoughts are that are going through your head. It helps us to stay calm because we're not going to get triggered if we're thinking that something is neutral. And, you know, and I think that the other thing it does is that if we don't judge our kids, which often doesn't help anything, it helps them to feel supported and focused on solving challenges rather than bringing in shame or embarrassment or, you know, issues with self-esteem that sometimes happen when our kids feel judged. And it's the same thing for us. If we're judging ourselves and we're beating ourselves up for something that we did or we think that the neighbors are looking at us, and I still remember so distinctly my kid having a meltdown in a Starbucks, and I don't know how old he was, but my husband at the time was just great. He just picked him up and said, we're leaving, and we walked out and left our coffees and left the line and just, you know, left, and it was, you know, he was able to remain calm, but I remember that feeling of, oh, my gosh, everybody's looking at me. And it's easy to get that way, but the reality is that when we focus on that, we aren't focusing on our kids and on solving the challenge of the situation. So that's the 2 cents, and I see that a couple other people have joined us. So who's on? Kat was already on. So, Kathy, is that you? Who else?
Yep.
And a third person in Massachusetts.
Tammy. Hi.
Hey, Tammy. Nice to hear your voice. Okay. So I'm covering for Jeremy today. You guys probably didn't expect it to be me, but here I am. So I don't know. Let's see. It looks like you guys just came on. Did you hear any of my speech about non-judgment?
I heard the last part.
Yeah.
Kathy, what about you? Okay.
Same.
So, yeah, so just basically the idea here is that if we're judging ourselves or if we're judging our kid or if we're worried about everyone else judging us, we're less able to focus on problem solving and tend to be more charged. And so we're more likely to get triggered. We're more likely to, you know, end up focusing on, you know, what isn't working instead of focusing on being very solution-oriented. So there's a lot of challenges with it, and it definitely helps our kids if we can respond more from a place of, I call it the place of the computer, which is just kind of like, okay, this is what's going on right now. What do we want to do about it, as opposed to, oh, my gosh, this shouldn't be happening, or why is this happening, or, you know, trying to point fingers or assign or understand blame. And it's hard because there's a lot of, I said this earlier to Pat, is that there's a lot of kind of gremlins and voices in our heads when we end up in situations that, you know, where judgment is potential. So I'm curious for the three of you guys, what comes up on this idea of non-judgment?
Not much, apparently. I know it's a good idea. I love it when I'm not judged and when people are really trying to explore, you know, what's going on or to problem solve. I recently did a values conversation, and I said I'm so scared that I'm going to let myself down in really implementing my values. And something that came out of the conversation was something like, you know, when you're judging, is that more, could that be like about wanting people to engage fully, still a value, but it's just not coming out in a way that's helpful to them. And I think that was helpful because then I can say, in terms of judging, I really want you to be engaged in, you know, life, or I really want this for you. And I can say my value rather than say you aren't doing a good job at living your life and you stink. So for what that's worth, I thought that was really helpful to me. I don't know that I just did this a couple of days ago, so I haven't mastered it yet, but I thought it was
helpful. Well, so can I reframe what you just said, Kathy, because I think it's great, which is that a lot of times when we bump up against our values, so for example, I have a client who has a high value around achievement, and she's one of those get it done kind of people, and it really is a value for her, and it always has been. I don't know where the value comes from. Sometimes it, you know, we carry it all our lives. And so when she sees her child not performing, quote unquote, and not doing the things that she asked or not following through and having some of the normal executive function challenges, not only is it frustrating, but it bumps against something that's of value to her, and she wants her kids to have similar values to her. And it may be that they do, but because of their challenges, it feels like they're not, and so the judgment comes in. Is that kind of where you were headed, Kathy?
I missed the last part of what you said, so if you asked a question, I missed it.
No, I just was asking whether that was kind of what you were saying in terms of the fact that it was bumping up against a value for you, and that's what made it easier for you to judge.
Yes, or to not judge, to say,
or to not judge.
To think of it as, you know, because I also get mad at myself that I'm not getting what I want, or I'm not being able to express what I want, or train my kids in a way that, you know, I like my values, as it turns out, and I you know, and they may have different ones, but I want them to appreciate what I value. And so it's helpful for me to know that judging that implementing my values doesn't necessarily have to involve judgment. It doesn't have to say you're doing a bad job, but rather, you know, this is what I think is really important, and maybe what do you think is important? And it's really powerful. I mean, I assume that everybody has had moments where they've just felt really listened to and not felt judged, but someone's really just trying to figure out what's going on. And that's, you know, it's amazing.
And what it sounds like is you're using that value of connection and closeness as a way to remember, to stay in more of a place of curiosity than a place of judgment. And I love that.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Tammy, what about you? What comes up for you on this topic?
Right now, I think I've really been working a lot on the gremlins and all that kind of stuff. So really, the only thing that I can honestly say that really gets under my skin now, because I learned a lot about the gremlins over the last year in the summer and all that, but if the kids and I have some time together, and, you know, I plan a day or whatever, and then something, you know, happens during the day, I'm like, you guys, you know, I really wanted to spend time with you. It's very, you know, I just really wanted to spend, you know, have a good time with you guys. We want to play together and have a lot of fun today, you know, and that's where I just have a hard time, you know, keeping my cool.
So it sounds like disappointment. When you experience disappointment, along with the disappointment comes the judgment. Is that fair?
Yeah, because I'm like, you guys, come on. I really want to spend some time with you. I want to have a great time with you and all of that kind of stuff. You know, so I think that's the area that I have a hard time with them when something, you know, goes awry. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that makes sense because you have a – go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I try to explain to them, you know, I really love spending time with you guys, you know? So I'm just trying to get that through to them sometimes.
Right. So it makes perfect sense that when you're feeling like you really were hoping for a fun day and a fun time and then it doesn't end up as planned, you get disappointed. And disappointment, you know, because it's more of a triggered energy. It's more of a kind of a catabolic energy. It's really easy to kind of go, oh, man, I can't believe it's happening again. And then all of a sudden, boom,
right. This
is bad. Yep.
Right, right. But the other thing that I found is that it's not just that they're, I mean, once in a while, you know, they'll have moments and they'll be really snarky and stuff like that. But usually, I mean, as of late, what it's really been is that, you know, just more stuff, more neurological things have been happening, and I find myself having to just step by and say, you know, just like, you know, what I first heard from you guys is it not your neurological, and sometimes the neurological stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, would you please just give me a break? Like,
right. Let's
not have more of this stuff. I just want to have fun with them, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes it's just such a struggle for me to just keep watching things happen, you know, so just more things to work on, I mean, to deal with, and it's difficult sometimes.
So if you were going to respond like a computer, so what I heard you just say, Jamie, is that you're noticing that there's more challenging issues that come up. It's like every time you turn around, there's another neurological something that's another place where your kid's ADHD is getting involved in creating a challenge. Is that fair?
Yes, and it's extremely aggravating.
Right. So if you were going to respond like a computer, right now it's aggravating because you wish that it wasn't happening and it's frustrating.
Right.
If you were going to respond more like a computer, more from a neutral place, what would a more neutral reaction be when a new challenge pops up?
Maybe if I said to either one of them, you know, tell me how you're feeling, or I'm trying to stay away from the why stuff.
Let's go back for a second, pause for a second, Tammy. Go back to what I want to focus on is the thought in your head before you say something to them, which is
oh.
Right. So you say, oh my gosh, here we go again. One more challenge area. I can't believe this. I thought we had tackled this. Yeah, that's what the voice in the head says, right?
Right. And it's because I know that it's just a lot more work. It's just a lot more struggle to overcome.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know,
it's never a little thing. It's just always like another big thing to, and you know, have to learn about and then deal with and you know all of that kind of thing. It's just aggravating.
So if you were to put that data into a computer for a second, how does the computer analogy work for you? Does it work well or?
Yes. I just think I'm getting ahead of it. That's all.
Well, so if you put in data, which is, okay, here's another challenge area.
Yeah.
Right, here's another challenge, and it's a big challenge. How would the computer respond?
it would, we probably just need more input, maybe, of things that are going on.
Okay. So what you're describing is like curiosity. So it's like, okay,
yes.
So what can we learn? What can we learn about this situation?
Right.
Okay. So if you were going to come from a place of curiosity instead of, oh man, I can't believe we're here again.
Right.
What would you do differently?
I could probably lay it aside and carry on better. Lay it aside for later to, look more into later on and say, well, let's just lay this aside for right now and let's just carry on and continue what we're doing.
So your need to fix it immediately might shift.
Exactly. Right. My need to go around and around with it wouldn't happen. I wouldn't get into that fight with it. You know?
Cool. And if you weren't going around and around with it, what would be different?
Then we could just lay it aside. And it would be okay until later. And then we could just carry on with what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is much better.
Yeah. So Pat started originally with this idea of other people's opinions and judgment from outside. What comes up for you, Pat, as we kind of have this conversation specifically around, those eyes we see from others?
It's just the feeling. You kind of know what they're probably thinking, even though some people don't say things. And then there's some people that will actually say something to you about, wow, your child didn't really say much to me today, or, they're sort of judging you, but at some point, you got to, look past it and move on.
The quote that comes to mind as you say that is, what other people think of me is none of my business.
Well, it may not be the most important thing going on. In other words, if I'm trying to get my child in school and the most important thing is he's getting things done in school and he's getting his homework done and all that, to me at the moment that's probably more important to me than he said three sentences to some teacher going into school that he doesn't really relate to. So I guess I have to put it all in perspective. What's the most important thing right then?
Mm-hmm.
I know people are judging because they don't mean to, because I do it too, probably some other people's children. But, I got to put it in perspective of what's the most important thing that I need to work on with my child right then. And maybe that's not the most important thing.
So what I'm hearing you say is that when you feel the judgment, kind of evaluating what's the right action. Is this the right time to address this, or are there more important things for me to address? And staying focused on the things that are most important. What do you do with the judgment? Because the judgment is the practical part of it, and then there's the how it feels part of it.
Usually I'll probably go talk to my husband later and just say, hey, because, he has a different perspective. Men have a different perspective on things. So sometimes I'll bounce it off him and say, do you think this was very important, or is it just something I should ignore? And he'll give me his opinion. And then I'll decide if it's something I need to address or just ignore until I get we have a really huge problem.
Well, and that makes sense, because a lot of times when we're emotionally charged by something, because judgments push all kinds of buttons for people. And so if something's emotionally charged, our ability to really discern whether it's important or not is challenged, because it's like, oh my gosh, if I'm feeling judged, I've got to change this right now. And so getting an outside perspective is a great way to balance importance. Love that. Other thoughts?
I wondered... I wonder two things. One is, when the last person was talking, I thought, if somebody said, oh, my child didn't speak to me that much today, I thought a good way to think about it would be, I wonder what's going on. and sort of inspire curiosity in them too, rather than be like, I know he's supposed to, and you know, because then it's more like, yeah, clearly he's behaving or she's behaving according to his or her needs. So something must be going on if they are supposed to talk and they're not. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, and the thing, the
question. It was a fleeting thought. I don't know if it applies.
I like it. And I think that the question that kind of came was, you know, what does it feel like when we feel the judgment, whether it's us judging or whether it's somebody else judging, and what do we want to feel instead? So how does that resonate for you, Kathy? How does that resonate?
What do we want to feel when we're judging or when we're feeling judged?
What do you feel? What's the natural feeling that you feel when you're being judged? Let's start with that one. Or when you're judging yourself. What's that feeling?
Ashamed or afraid. Powerless.
Mm-hmm. And so what? So when we feel ashamed or afraid or powerless, how empowered are we to take action?
I'm not sure what you mean.
How empowered are we? How easy is it to take action? Yeah, how easy is it to take action when we're feeling shame or...
I think with perspective, it gets easier. So I guess it depends on, you know, like somebody said, I asked my husband and I, you know, and figure out if it's important or not. I think if you have good support, that helps a lot to put it into perspective.
So what you're describing is if you shift the feeling from shame to it's okay, or shame to this isn't what's most important right now, that helps you to move it forward, as opposed to being stuck with the judgment.
I think it's about figuring out if it's appropriate that somebody thinks you're lacking in something, and if you agree with them, and if you are, then deciding to do something about it, or that you're okay with it, and if you don't think it's appropriate that they're pointing it out, or, I mean, even if you agree with them, whether or not it's appropriate for them to point it out, or if they're doing it in a good way.
Yeah. How is it different when you judge yourself? Just kind of generally back to the group. You don't have to answer, Kathy, unless you want to.
It puts me right into aggravation myself. You know?
So the judgment is what pushes you to getting aggravated. And
right.
When you're aggravated, how motivated are you to change the situation?
It just starts a very bad cycle. It starts the wrong cycle that I want to have happen. So
right.
I need to stay away from the... I need to take some breaths before the aggravation and think about that I don't want to feel the aggravation.
Well, and it's interesting. I was just listening to a podcast about triggers, and you know, we always talk about the amygdala hijack and about how the brain shuts down and all you can do is, you know, fight or flight, right, when you get triggered. But there's this stage before that he was talking about where when the stress levels get higher and we get aggravated, we don't have the ability to be creative and come up with anything new. We only can go back to our old habits. That's all that comes back to. It's kind of like the thing we've been doing over and over and over again. Our ability to problem solve and come up with something new is limited. It's kind of like that step between being completely shut down and triggered and completely neutral and, you know, and able to problem solve is this sort of all I can do is what I know. And a lot of us have those habits. So what resonates for you in that, Tammy?
I just have to I just have to practice taking some breaths before aggravated. Like, it's like I have to know what happens after aggravated. And if I can remember what happens after aggravated, I can stay away from that. Because that's not where I want to go. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, no, that makes sense.
Like,
go ahead.
It's like playing a trick on my brain, kind of. It's like, all right, that's not. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like having a cross. It's like having a barrier down that, in front of that road. It's like, okay, I go to it, but there's a barrier there. Yep, I don't want to go there, so now I need to find another road. You know?
Right. So you've got, you know, naturally that aggravation, you know, it's kind of like A plus B equals. So aggravation, the next step after aggravation is, you know, the reaction that you have. And if you create the space where it's like you become more aware of when the aggravation is starting, you take the breath or you take a sip of water, you do something to break it, then you can choose a different road instead of just repeating the path that you normally repeat when you notice the aggravation coming.
Right, exactly.
So how do you want to respond instead when you notice yourself getting aggravated?
That's the place where I'm at, actually, just because I have to be, I'm trying to practice being gentle with myself, and it's to be honest with you, it's like, it's a new feeling for me. I mean, it's a new thing for me because I'm so used to the other road, and it's just a new feeling for me, so it's hard to get very far down the road. I figure if I can take a few breaths and not go down that one road, I've succeeded so far. It's just that I haven't gotten far down another road yet. You know?
So do you think it's more about noticing the aggravation? Is it about interrupting the step? Or is it about giving yourself some grace when you happen to take that direction?
No, it's the first one. First I had to be aware of what happened after being aggravated, because that was the cycle. And I knew I wanted to stop the cycle. So I had to be aware of where it started and taking breaths. So now I know I don't want to go down that road. I just don't want to do that anymore. It's for a lot of reasons. But anyway, now I have to find a new road to go down. But I'm really only at the part where I can stop that now and then just, you know, take a drive or take a walk and just help myself not go down that road. But I haven't found a new road to go down yet that feels okay. You know what I mean?
Because the
being gentle with myself is not a good feeling yet.
Okay.
I mean,
so
it will be.
So you came on before we really took aim, and so I'm going to go back to Kathy too and say, So as we've been talking about this, what particular situation came to mind as a place to kind of take aim?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, the question is that, so you came on after we took aim. So I want to loop back because we're talking more specifically. Let's find a specific challenge area. Where do you think you'd most like to focus on as you're thinking about this idea of what do I do instead of getting aggravated?
I just have to find ways to be gentle with myself. I mean, if you want me to be really honest about it, it's just an unfamiliar feeling to me, and I just need it to start to be an okay feeling.
So can you give me a particular example of when you tend to be pretty tough on yourself?
Oh, my gosh. It used to be all the time about everything, but it isn't like that anymore. I mean, any chance there could be to get in trouble, I mean, I would do that. I mean, with myself. But it isn't like that anymore because I've given myself some breaks there.
Okay, so if you had to pick one area where you think you could use a little bit of a boost on figuring out what else to do, what would you choose?
if I could pick one area, I have to think of a way to kind of complete the being gentle with myself process, you know? I don't know.
Okay, so is there a particular, so what is it, where do you notice that you're not being gentle in yourself? In every aspect of life, I'm guessing. But so is there a particular thing that you do or a particular situation that happens where you tend to be pretty tough on yourself?
Really, honestly, I mean, it really only happens now if I'm not aware of what's going on. I'm really just to the point now where I can step back and take some breath and notice what's going on. I've just gotten myself to that point now.
Okay.
You know?
So what would the next level be? So if you're, you know, scale of, you know, scale
next,
of 0 to 10,
next,
what's the next level?
Yeah. The next level, I mean, I think from watching people and observing, listening, I mean, the next level would be to, like, you know, go get a coffee, go get, you know, I don't know, just do something nice for yourself. I don't know. Yeah. You know?
So it's to replace the aggravation with something else. That makes sense. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on judgment or either of ourselves or of other people?
When you were talking about taking aim, I thought immediately of my 15-year-old daughter who just isn't that socially gracious at home. And we have three kids, and she's the middle. And so last night she made muffins and wouldn't give anyone any. And she just kept saying, no, he was mean to me. And we have I have another daughter who loves to bake and who makes muffins all the time. And the 15-year-old will eat, like, you know, as many as she'll let her. And the 13-year-old's really generous. So my son was just like, you're so selfish and you're so whatever. And it was really hard to, you know, usually I just lay into her. But we all went out to dinner and she wanted to stay home. So we let her stay home since she'd eaten muffins. But I don't know how to not judge her, or I don't know how to usually... Particularly if it involves my very generous 13-year-old, I have a really hard time not making her feel like she's wrong and less loved and being kind.
So what do you want to smile with her? You want to poke at that for a second?
Say it again?
Do you want to poke at that for a second?
Sure.
Okay. So think of a particular situation. Was there something last night about the muffins, or is there another particular situation where you noticed that you had a really hard time not correcting and judging?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much any time she interacts with my youngest daughter, she'll say, "Oh, which my youngest will say, oh, what show is this?" And she will not respond if she's watching TV. In the living room, and if I get involved, then she's like, well, it's going to come up, obviously. She's going to see it in 2 minutes. Why is she asking useless questions? She's so annoying, and you shouldn't be involved, and it's not a problem. And if my youngest does get help, then she sort of says, you know, you need to deal with your own life, and she basically bullies her about that as well. So I don't know how to... relate. I know that it's really hurtful. I don't know how to help her.
So yeah, so it sounds almost
like you're being horrible.
Right. So what kind of popped up to me was this, you know, this visual of a mama bear, right? So you're there and she's interacting with her sister and she's being unkind and you're like, you can't do that to your sister. That's not fair. It's not okay. It's hurtful. Kind of like a mama bear. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
and so what's
she's
the,
like,
what's...
you always take her side, and you always, you know, and you're like,
yeah.
How could I
not?
Why are you not seeing this?
So what is the, what's the, how does the mama bear help?
In terms of making my youngest feel like she doesn't have to be bullied or she doesn't have to be disrespected by herself,
right?
Without
so she's there to, she's there to protect,
sure.
She's there to protect your younger
right.
daughter. Okay. And
but there's also some training involved that I'm just not getting across.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the reality: is that when any of us see our kids under attack, even if it's by us, you know, we tend to go on edge, and it's and so the question is, you know, is the voice say no one can do that to my daughter, or is the voice say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have a kid who's so mean? Is the voice say, what the heck's going on? This isn't right. You know, what do you think? What's the voice in your head say in that moment when you've got a kid that looks like a bully?
How can this be my kid? And how can this lesson, like, how can I keep having to point this out and she doesn't get it? Or how can she keep doing the same thing over and over?
Yeah. Well, and it's mind-numbing because it's just like you can see so plainly the pain and the frustration that the behavior is causing. And you know that the behavior is there for a lot of different reasons. There's hormones, there's ADHD, there's all the other kinds of stuff that kind of make it so that the behavior continues to happen. When you,
it also makes
when
me
you
feel
when,
like I stuck, like I'm a mediator, actually.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like,
so
how can
part
I
of
not
like,
get through to this, you know, how
right.
is this my life?
So you've got guilt and shame on one side because it's like, oh my gosh, here I am again. I have these terrible kids. I must be a terrible mom. What the heck am I thinking? And then you've also got no one can treat my child like that, right? So you've got, you're stuck between, you know, frustration and anger and guilt and shame, which are both pretty stress-producing energies. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were going to respond to a as a computer does, you know, so let's go back to the computer analogy, which is the non-judgment, because you're judging yourself, you're judging your older daughter, you're judging the situation is bad, you know, so there's all this judgment that's going on. If you were going to respond in a more neutral way, how would a computer, instead of a mama bear, how would a computer see the situation and the dynamic between the two daughters? Mm-hmm.
It would say, here's a situation I recognize, and it would say, in the past, this is what has worked, or at least in the past, this is what has not worked. And so
right.
it would at least do anything that has worked and not do anything that hasn't worked. And I don't know what has worked, except like someone else said, to try to lay it aside, but then we don't come back to it very well.
Well, no, and so that makes sense of it. So what I want to say to both you and to Tammy is that there's two steps here, right? So step number one is avoiding stepping in the mud of the judgment, because the minute we get into the judgment, we get triggered. We either go into mama bear or we go into guilt and shame, right? So either way, we're not extremely effective at figuring out how we want to handle the situation, because the emotions kind of kick in. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
So that's step number one, is kind of, how do I say, okay, here we are, what do we want to do about it, instead of, oh, I'm a bad mom, or, oh, somebody's attacking my child. How would it enable you to be more focused on problem solving if there was less of a charge to the situation, Kath?
Objectively, I know that kids generally want to please their parents, unless they're psychopaths, which I've suspected sometimes. But generally, being on the other side of a 17-year-old, you know, angst and torture, who can now say things like, I don't always mean what I say, and I recognize you guys want what's best for me. And knowing that they are scared and stressed too when you are scared and stressed for them. I can say objectively, like, I assume she doesn't enjoy feeling this way, or I assume that she doesn't like looking mean. I'm just not sure that she knows she is being mean, but I assume that she's definitely annoyed. So I can assume that she's not enjoying the situation, I think. Or she would prefer to connect more positively rather than negatively, if that's how she's trying to connect.
Mm-hmm. So how does staying out of... Go ahead.
That I'm sorry that you are not being, you know, able to be generous right now, I guess. I'm sorry that you're, you know, I guess. I'm sorry you're not able to interact. If that's the case, can you go somewhere else where you're not in public? Which then just
so what you're describing is a more engaged problem solving focus, whether it's just acknowledging and validating, whether it's walking away, whether it's allowing it to be the way it is, whether it's kind of how do you want to solve it, you know, but it's even listening to you describe it, it's much less emotionally charged, which helps you to kind of stay in that moment and stay in the problem solving. Is that fair?
Yeah, because I want to be compassionate to her too. I mean, she's my child as well, and I want her to get that I care for her just as much.
Yeah. So, Pat or Tammy, anything come up for you as Kathy and I were talking?
My two younger boys do that a lot, actually. The older one does that a lot to the younger one, and he's very bully. You know, he bullies him quite often, and sometimes he can be, you know, extremely hurtful towards him as well. But I have found just in trying to deal with that it's because the older one is all tangled up, like emotionally all tangled up, and he just can't. He's just all, he can't untangle himself. So he just needs help. He needs me to help him, first calm down. But I usually say to him, you know, hey, what's up, buddy? You know, something like that. And at the end of the conversation where we say, you know, I think, you know, that would be really hurting your brother's feelings, you know, and he can see it by the end of the conversation, but in the moment he can't see it. But it's usually always because he's all tangled up and he just doesn't know how to deal with himself. So that's what I have found in our home. So.
Well, and I love how you're able to kind of see that objectively as you're sitting here and stay out of that place of judgment and just knowing that that's just the reality of what's going on for him.
Well, it's just happened so much that I mean, I didn't used to start in not the place of judgment, but I didn't want to not like my kid. And so I mean, you know, then I had to go from a different way because he was really, like, super tangled up. And he was just aggravating himself over and over again. And he just didn't know what was wrong, you know, and so that wasn't helping him to deal with himself for sure. And I, you know, don't want to not like him. And, you know, so I had to start from a different way, so, a different perspective, you know.
Yeah, well, and I think that's really kind of at the core of what we're talking about here is, you know, what perspective do you want to replace the judgment with? So, cool. All right, so let's switch to our questions here, and I'm on, looks like page 2 of the supplement on non-judgment. So take a few minutes and write down some notes, and then I would love to hear from all three of you. What did you focus on or pay most attention to? What's a clarity or aha, a takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success with this action? So jot a few notes and would love to hear from all of you when you're ready.
I've got to run, actually, but I really love what the last person just said, and because sometimes I feel horrible that I don't like my kid, and I think just being compassionate about whatever is going on for her is pretty amazing and transformative, and I think I will try something like, it sounds like you need some space, or you need some, you know, do you need to be in somewhere else where you don't have to interact with anybody kind of thing. I think I may try that rather than, why are you being rude, or again. So that's my parting thoughts. But thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.
Who's next?
This is Pat. I think for me, my takeaway is to try and ignore the thoughts in my head of what I think other people are thinking, and especially in the moment when the situation happens, and then deal with my thoughts later on, because that may have nothing to do with what's going on with my child at the time.
Love that. And so what do you do with that in terms of action?
I just need to, you know, recognize, okay, this happened. It's not important right now. I will deal with this in a couple hours, or, you know, like at the end of the day, you know, when you go evaluate what's going on in the day, and then, you know, go back and say, was this really important, and do I need to do something about it, or is this something, it's not important, so I'm going to ignore this situation. This judgment or whatever I think the judgment may be is probably not important.
Cool. And on a scale of 0 to 10, how hard is that going to be for you?
Probably about a 5. I mean, I've had to deal with it already. I just, you know, just I probably just need to keep doing what I've been doing.
Okay, cool. Tammy, what about you?
Mine is, I would say, just to keep trying to stay away from, or just keep trying to be aware of the aggravation with myself. I really now have a lot more trouble with just being aggravated with myself. And I've kind of left other people, you know, behind, because they just don't. And I figure if they don't understand the journey, then they just don't understand it. So there's no judgment there. And, I mean, I just feel sad for them if they don't. I mean, because they're awesome kids. All our kids are awesome kids. They just have to just learn a different way, you know. And if you can't understand that, I feel very sad for you. So just kind of have left that behind. But I just get really judgmental with myself still. But I mean, not half as much as I used to. So I just have to be aware of the, when I start to get aggravated with myself, and just kind of put a, take a breath there.
So. Well, and I think that, I mean, and part of this is celebrating that you've made some progress. I mean, this is something that you've been working on for a while, and you've done some great work, and it's fabulous that you see how far you've come. And so acknowledge that and know that there's always opportunity that can continue. But it sounds like part of what you really want to remember is, you know, when do you need to give yourself grace versus when do you need to focus on changing your perspective?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Any parting thoughts lately? Great ladies, great call today.
Yeah. It's good to talk to you.
You too.
I didn't even recognize your voice when I called in. It's really good to talk to you, Diane.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. All right, guys. Have a great week and enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.